Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
All right, so welcome to another exciting episode of The Entrepreneurial You podcast. I'm your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. Today, we have a luminary in business thought leadership and a serial entrepreneur. Yes, sounds like myself, right? Brace yourselves for an enlightening conversation. Of course, before we proceed, you know how we do. We have to take a moment to thank those who make the merry go around.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Welcome back. Of course, today we have the pleasure of hosting someone synonymous with groundbreaking business thought leadership. He is a three-time winning founder and CEO of Deloitte Technology Fast 50 and Deloitte Technology Fast 500 Awards, and a three-time Wall Street Journal best-selling author for his newest books, Reinvent, Everything Connects, and Lift. The proceeds of his book are donated to multiple myeloma cancer research. He is the founder of Shadoka Next Chapter and other companies. They focus on enabling sustainable and transformational changes. Furthermore, he serves as a strategic partner and innovation leader of CACI, a $6.7 billion company whose mission, enterprise technology and expertise, play a vital role in the U.S. national security. He has developed over 20 commercial business and technology platforms and worked with GE, MasterCard, American Express, Northrop Grumman, PepsiCo, IBM, Home Depot, Netscape, Infosys, and a host of others. The list goes on and on and on. Welcome, 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 Faisal Haq. It's so good to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be at your show.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you could reinvent any industry overnight, which would it be and why?
I had to focus on only one industry. It'll be healthcare, because it's very personal and deep because of the various healthcare situation I have had with my parents and now with my son. So healthcare industry is ripe for reinvention, especially what's going on with technology, but also the business model itself. Health is something everybody on the planet needs. So that would be the industry that I would focus on.
Sounds good to me. And of course, we could go into big pharma and how it's affecting healthcare and who has access to healthcare and all of that. But we won't digress. We're just going to be talking about some trailblazing transformation, getting some business wisdom from you, Faisal. Let's start at the very beginning. How did your journey lead you into entrepreneurship?
Look, I originally come from Bangladesh. I came to US when I was like 18, 19 years old to go to school. My father was a civil engineer at that time, and my mother was a homemaker. I had to put myself to school, and it kind of started there. My parents were very traditional and wanted me to stay back home. He wanted me to go to his engineering school. I didn't want to do that. So I had to come, save up some money, and then find my way to US, and then build it from there. So that entrepreneurial spirit to survive, you know, was kind of ingrained in me from the very beginning. So it started kind of there. And then, you know, in my fourth year of school, I came up with a software product, kind of distributed it to different companies to see whether I could get a job. I ended up in East Coast of US, took a job with the engineering R&D facility at a Fortune 500 company. And then within 2 years, I launched my first company, which was very successful. And then it went on from there and there. So I built several companies out of that, out of, you know, post that, and succeeded on a couple of them, failed miserably on a couple of them, got fired from my own company by my investors and had to rebuild all over again. So this entrepreneurial journey is truly a journey, and it never, you know, it never ends. I mean, if you are have that entrepreneurial bug, and you're an innovator, and you focus on technology, you keep coming up with new things to see whether you can make a difference.
Tell me a little bit about what is the entrepreneurial landscape like in Bangladesh.
When I left home, this is mid-80s, right? So it's, it still was a kind of a young country. Now 30 years has gone by since I left home, and the vast, you know, things has happened, political changes, infrastructure changes, a lot of foreign investments. The young people have dove into technology. It used to be the country was very much dependent on garment and farming. It has now developed into a lot of the tech-enabled businesses. So it changed. And, you know, a lot of the folks that went overseas, gone back and kind of cultivated the industry in a different way. So it's definitely not the same when I was back there 30 plus years later.
So let's talk about you being fired from companies that you started, from a company that you started. That's an interesting story. And, you know, many startup founders may be listening like, you know, that's one of my biggest fear, perhaps. You know, I don't want to start a company, put my blood, sweat and tears in it, and then I'm ousted from my own company. Talk about that.
This was when I was in my 20s, and I had a pretty thriving and successful career up until then. I was at G Capital, you know, after bringing my last company to G Capital. We built a successful business unit for G Capital, and I wanted to get out and do my own thing all over again. So I started a company with funding from Netscape. And Netscape, by the way, is the original browser maker, as you may know, way back then. I started a company with seed funding from Netscape and Gartner and a couple other people. And we immediately went out there and signed up some pretty big customers, you know, MasterCard and GE and other people. I really didn't need to raise the money, but it was the thing to do at that time because it's 90s. And we were all kind of having these rose-colored glasses on, and everybody going to IPO because it's the internet go-go days. So I went out there and raised $50 million. And when you raise that kind of money, obviously you don't have the same level of control. And within 9 months, I started to have a different conversation with the investor in terms of growth path. And the investors were very aggressive in the growth. But when you're only 2-3 years old, company, you know, you don't have all your process in place. You don't have a recurring revenue model kind of perfected. It's hard to predict future revenue, etc. But they wanted to accelerate the pace anyway, and they thought that if they brought in a quote unquote seasoned management, they would be able to scale it. And some of my own team members thought the same way. So they ousted me, took over the company, and within 12, 18 months, you know, ran the whole company to the ground. And so that was a very big lesson for me in terms of, you know, growth is obviously any entrepreneur needs to be growth focused, but growth has to be based on foundation, you know, and if you don't have the right foundation, it's hard to grow. And a lot of the technology product and services that companies offer, especially when you're talking about cutting edge technology, it does take time to kind of, you know, make it mature, acceptable by the customer, coming up with the right pricing model, coming up with the right distribution model. Those things doesn't happen overnight. You know, it takes a lot of time. I mean, and, you know, and we think that a lot of the innovation that comes in the marketplace is overnight. Like, you know, if you think about iPhone or if you think of a lot of the Google product, we think that it just all came overnight. These are based on many, many, many years of R&D, and that's also market acceptance and fine tuning. A lot of times what happens in a tech company, this has gotten better since the days of when I started out in 90s, but we often forget how long it does take and how many trial and error does it take. So this idea of accepting failure and embracing failure and learning from that, that is kind of wasn't as popular as it now, right? I mean, we talked a lot about failing forward, cultivating a culture of failure, failing the right way. You know, there's a lot of this conversation. Now that's very popular and well accepted. That wasn't the case, like 20, 30 years ago. So whether you're an investor or whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're an innovator, you kind of have to go with the mindset that, especially if you're pushing technology boundary, it does take time and you have to be prepared for that and be very devoted to how long it does take and the path that you have to constantly change to get where you want to get. So that's probably the biggest lesson that I learned, that teaming up with the right people who has the patience and the ability to suffer pain to when you go through this type of journey, if you don't have that same level and same mentality, then you will fail.
What I'd love for you to share with us, Faisal, is a transformational moment, perhaps, where you've had an idea and that's reshaped one of the businesses or even an industry, because you've been a part of so many top organizations.
Transformation, the driver can come from both internally and externally. So let's take some external driver that we kind of observed in last 5 years. I mean, if you look at what has happened due to pandemic, if you look at what has happened due to technological change during the time of pandemic, because a lot of the technology got accelerated because we had to reinvent how we work. You know, we couldn't necessarily all work from the same location. Remote work became very popular, et cetera, et cetera. You're also looking at a generational change, meaning that a lot of the younger people are entering the workforce, whereby their mentality and the learning pattern is very different than, let's say, like me, who's now in my 50s or early 50s, right? If you look at a 20-year-old, they learn differently. They have different expectation. They do things very differently. And then you look at the whole geopolitical climate that we're observing with miscommunication, misinformation. You know, we are seeing a lot of unrest every part of the world, right? So when you add all that, you know, these are transformational drivers, because you have to rethink how you think about the future. How do you build something? How do you market something? Who's your customer? What kind of workforce do you need to make that happen, et cetera, et cetera. Now, top of all that, if you look at some of the new technology that's coming to the coming in picture, like artificial intelligence, and nonstop conversation about, is it going to take away our jobs? Is it going to reshape how we think about humanity in general? Are these synthetic entities going to take over humanity altogether? These are all transformational moments. And we've seen these kind of transformational moments in the past, but none has been so dramatic and drastic and with the speed. So, I was talking about my days when I started my technology businesses and ventures. I mean, we saw the advent of internet. I mean, we thought that was monumental, right? But you can go back and you see when the telephone was invented, or you can go back when steam engine was invented. You can go back when the automobile industry took off and we were no longer having horse and buggies and how it created the infrastructure, right? So there has always been these changes, but I think the rate of change and the rate of access is much more dramatic than it used to be. So this idea of transformational drivers and transformational leadership and how you innovate and how do you cultivate this opportunity are far more different than it used to be.
Anything specifically based on your own leadership and ideas shaping any of those that you were part of, businesses that you were part of?
Everything starts with leadership, as you well know, and I'm sure every single of your guests says the same thing. The leadership practices are very different now than it used to be, in the sense that people have a lot more options now. Right? You have a lot more choices. You know, people want freedom and creativity and fulfill much greater than they used to. A simple paycheck is not enough anymore to be fulfilled. So the leadership practices also has to change and is changing, whereby the leaders, successful leaders today, are much more attuned to the audience and the people they're leading and the customer they're servicing. There's a deep empathy that plays a role in connecting with the people that you're that you're trying to connect with, both from a market and from a resource point of view. The leaders has to be much more influence driven versus the command control like it used to be. Like, just because you're a CEO of a large corporation, you can't just go and demand things and hope that it will make an impact. Obviously, the idea of what impact means and what success means also changed, right? I mean, the younger generation is much more focused on social impact and how we all bring the globe together versus the older generation, where it's bottom line driven and that's all we think about. So the mentality of leadership has changed. So the leadership practice has to be changed. So that's one. Second is, with that knowledge and thoughts, how you leverage the technology is far more important. Everybody now is a technologist, right? I mean, a child who has a phone is a technologist, meaning that it's not technologist in the sense that you have to invent new technology, but you have to know how to leverage the technology that's already exists and that's at your fingertip, right? So the business owners, entrepreneurs, it doesn't matter, I mean, whether you run a restaurant or whether you are coming up with a technology product. I mean, look what we have seen during the pandemic. I mean, we would order online, we would have delivery service, we would have QR code instead of printed menu, we would have product and services coming from overseas so that we can cook something different and new. All of this actually changed even a simple industry like restaurant industry or food industry, right? So you can take that in healthcare, you can take that in defense, you can take that in, you can apply that same principle anywhere, whereby technology is kind of like the business, in the sense that it is the key enabler for business growth and to be able to connect with the your audience. Look at what social media has done in terms of ability to connect with your audience and drum up things. The fact that you and I are talking is because of technology, right? So the distribution of knowledge is also very much driven by technology. So that's the second factor. And the third factor is, collectively as human society, we need to be focused on human first. What I mean by that it, whatever we are doing must do some good for the humanity, otherwise we will not survive as a society. So the business goals needs to be tied to the greater good of humanity. If we don't think from that perspective, we're not going to survive in the long term, because the brand that you represent or the brand that you're trying to create is not going to have the following, same level of following, if you're just trying to push products with some false notion and just focus on the bottom dollars. You know, people don't resonate to that kind of brand anymore. So this idea of how we lead, leveraging technology, and the fact that you need to connect with people at a human level, those three things are critical for any new business idea or new business growth.
How do you balance, Faisal, innovation and sustainability when you're looking at your ventures?
Look, money is very important, right? So you can innovate all day long, but if you're not generating revenue, you're not going to survive. So you talk sustainability in the sense that you have to survive. That's one definition of sustainability. Obviously, the other definition of sustainability is that you are doing something that's going to sustain the planet Earth or humanity itself, right? Both of them are important. So if you're an entrepreneur, you have to focus on generating revenue. If you don't generate revenue, you're not going to have the chance of innovation. Whatever that source of revenue is, whether that's investor dollar that allows you to do R&D, but that has a ability to generate revenue, or your self-funding that's allowing you to generate revenue while you explore new product and services. As much as we hate to focus on this, money is important, and you have to generate revenue if you want to survive and create and do some good. In my book, I talked about this repeatedly. You can't lift others if you cannot lift yourself first. Lifting yourself means that you are lifting yourself socially, economically, and with knowledge, right? So if you can't do that, then you can't really be a good to anybody else.
You are a Wall Street Journal best-selling author of not just one, but three books. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Pick one of those books and just share insights from those and what you'd want your audience to take away from it.
You talked about what is the inspiration for change or transformation. I mean, as an author, when I put my author hat on, each book had different kind of inspiration. When I wrote Everything Connects, that was a while back, and then I then relaunched it with the second edition. Everything Connects, I wrote about 8-9 years ago. That was very transformative in the sense that I was deeply trying to understand how do you tap into your authenticity, and how does that connect to the world that is around you, and then how do you create value? So that was kind of the message and the inspiration behind Everything Connects. It's meaning being able to connect within yourself allows you to connect with outside, and as a result, you have the chance to create something different and impactful, right? So that was Everything Connects. Lift was right after the pandemic. You know, my publicist says, you know, it's post-pandemic, you should write something. So it was from the lens of the how world has changed, and what can I do to lift myself, and how does that allow you to lift other with transformational leadership principles. And reinvent is really, once you have that, you know, how do you reinvent large organizations by putting systems in place? If you want to really mobilize large organization, you have to put system in place, and I prescribe a set of methodology. How do you do that, right? So that's reinvent. And by the way, as you said, I don't write books for profit. So it's everything that I learned along the way, that's what I try to capture it in the books. And all the book proceed goes to cancer research, because my son is a cancer survivor. So that's the cause that my book proceed goes to.
So, well, congratulations that your son is now thriving from cancer. And secondly, that you're giving back, you're paying it forward. So that is commendable. And I wish you every success. You're welcome. And as you think about that final nugget with our audience, Faisal, what would that be in terms of, you know, just business wisdom, transformational leadership? What do you want us to walk away with?
A couple of things. You know, you're no good to others if you can't take care of yourself. So the first thing you should do is take care of yourself. And that taking care of yourself comes from your mental health as well as your physical health, right? And in crisis, those two things becomes even more monumental. And entrepreneurship, since we started there, and this your show is hugely about entrepreneurship and leadership. I mean, you know, entrepreneurship is surviving constant crisis, right? So you'll need that. So that's one thing. Second thing is that if you really want to thrive, focus on others, treat other people with empathy, everything else will kind of follow from there. Because even the product and service that you're trying to create, if it comes from adding value mindset, then you will add value. And as a result, you will make the money. You know, so that's the second learning. And third learning is that in a changing world, you have to be highly adaptive. So don't beat yourself up for not being able to get there fast. You just have to adapt and change along the changes that's happening around us. So those are my three nuggets. Try to practice. And none of this is easy. As you know, it requires effort to practice those things on a daily basis.
Indeed. It has really been a wonderful time, Faisal Huq. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your humility and your vulnerability too in sharing, you know, a little personal things about yourself with us, with our audience today. We're walking away tangible things that we can do as leaders, as business owners. We're also walking away learning from your experience, your missteps perhaps, as you go through, as you journey as a serial entrepreneur. All the best in your onward journey.
Thank you so much. It's been a great conversation. Appreciate it. and it's been an honor.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And how is it that, where can our listeners find you, Faisal?
Look, you can find me on the internet, obviously. If you go to my personal website, which is faisalhaq.com, you can find me there. I post something daily on LinkedIn. There's nothing to buy. You can leverage it any way you want. So if you follow me on LinkedIn, you can see something every day on all of these topics and many others. The books are for a proceed goes to donation. So if you benefit from it, that's great. But also your purchase will add something to the cancer survivors and cancer patients. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much again. A heartfelt thank you, of course, to Faisal Haq for sharing his transformative journey. His transformative journey, he has, as I said, shared so much insight with us and given us a lot of nuggets to walk away with. And I ask as you listen that you will, you know, apply some of those insights for lasting change as well. More wisdom will come your way on the Entrepreneur You podcast. But until then, until next time, I'm Henika Watkins-Porter. I'm signing off now, and I'm encouraging you to stay inspired, keep refining your skills, and tune in for more episodes as we nurture the entrepreneurial spirit in you. For more information and content, visit henikawatkinsporter.com. You'll find links to the show notes for today's episode as well as others. And if you want to find me on social media, I'm there as well, Henika Watkins-Porter. And I encourage you, if you don't have a podcast, you thought that, yeah, maybe you thought you wanted to start one, but it's just too much work. Well, we are a full service podcast production company. Reach out to us. We'd be happy to help you. Just send us a WhatsApp, send us an email, go to our website, henikawatkinsporter.com. You find that information. So finally, affirm with me. I catalyze positive change, creating transformation ripples in every endeavor. Do take care.